There's a certain verse in this passage that I have been contemplating and praying over, and a verse that really, there's several words that I have looked at as I've studied this through the years and have always preached over them, but there's another word in here that I... That you can go ahead and go to the next slide here. There's another word, and I kind of did it like this. You know, I'm always creative because really, that's the situation at hand, and that's what answers it right there. That's what tears down the wall. Persistent prayer. No matter what kind of a wall is in your way, persistent prayer is going to break through that wall. Amen. And, so that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight is persistent prayer. It's something that we know to do, but it's something that we don't practice very much. And you know, this was this sermon is designed not only for adults but also for young people. There are obstacles that you have in your life, and I'm going to be honest with you, as an adult. I used to be a teenager. I remember the struggles that you're going through right now. But I'm going to be honest with you. There are struggles that you're going through that I have no idea what they're like. Because the world is very different from what it was when I was a teenager. There are things that there are things that I did not have access to that you now have access to. You have the ability to hide things from mom and dad in ways that we don't know. And as a matter of fact, there are, and I'm not trying to call anybody on anything like that, all right, but you know what I'm talking about. There are programs today that are helping young people to hide things from mom and dad. I was completely unaware of it until Brother Dave Wilson was explaining it to me. We were having lunch one day, and he said to me that the reason why I couldn't understand why Snapchat is such a big deal with the young people. I think it's kind of neat, you know, some of the stuff that comes up, but I couldn't understand why is it such a big deal. Well, the fact is that Snapchat, after 24 hours, deletes the conversation. Uh-huh. See, mom and dad will never know what kind of pictures, what kind of words you're sending to somebody else. And there's other things like that out there today. You know the struggles, young person, and you know the temptations that you face, the things that you know you ought not to be doing, but it's constantly in your face. It's constantly there. When you commit the sin, you're sorry about it. You don't want it to be, but it happened, and you're asking God to forgive you, and then you're faced with the temptation all over again. It's a world where when music is bought, I'm going to tell you, it is crazy. To the older generation, you may not be aware of this, but in the past, I could buy a rock tape, and I could destroy it. All right, I could buy a CD and destroy it. Now you download the wrong kind of music and you're stuck with it forever. If you have an account with something and you purchase a certain song, you'll never be rid of it. You can, if the temptation arises again, you don't even have to spend money to buy the CD again. All you got to do is re-download the song. And it is a terrible battle that our young people are facing. And so that's that's where persistent prayer needs to take place for you. We're in a battle, all right? There are trials that we as the older generation, we are going through. There are things that if I were to explain to the young people what we're going through right now as a family, my wife and I, dealing with mom. As a matter of fact, I don't think any of you, unless you have taken care of somebody with Alzheimer's, right, and you had little children living at home at the very same time, I don't think any of you know what we're going through. Okay. A lot of times we feel like we're alone in this battle. It's a terrible thing. But when it comes to persistent prayer, there's a God who always understands. Amen. No matter what you're going through, then you need to, you have the ability, the access to be able to call on him anytime. No matter what age you are, no matter what place you're in, he's always available. And that's why prayer is one of the, to me, is one of the panoply of God. In this passage, we have the armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, praise God, it's the armor of God. That's the key right there, the armor of God. It's not just armor, it's the armor of God. And I'm thankful for that. Let's look at chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and let's look at what it says, all right? Let's look at We'll look at, I think we got the passage right up here, brother, so you can pull it up here. And if you don't have your Bible, all right, I encourage you to make sure you do bring your Bible, all right? Try to bring your Bible every time you come, but if you don't have it, we do have the passage right up here in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That word perseverance, that's the only time that that word is used in the Bible. That, and that particular type of word, all right? Now, it is derived from other words, but in that particular word right there, there's none like it quite, all right, in the Bible. It is a persistence in prayer, all right? So I want us to look at that verse again, all right? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All right, now first of all, it's necessary that you understand that we pray always in the Spirit.
Amen.
All right, you don't have to pray in a temple. You don't have to pray in this church. You don't have to find a certain place that's designated to pray to God. All right, you pray in the Spirit. You can pray wherever you want to. We were having Bible study just a few minutes ago, and the discussion came up about how we pray. I like to pray with white noise playing. All right, I like to pray where noises are drowned out. All right, and it's a little bit odd to certain people, but that's how I get in touch with God. Some of you can't sit still when you're praying. You're not weird. That's just how you get a hold of God. Some of you have to walk 10 miles in order to pray to God. That's fine, as long as you're getting a hold of God. Praying always in the Spirit with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit. That's the key. It's understanding that we are not here in spirit when we're communing with God. We're in heavenly places. The Bible says our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so we're there spiritually. You can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't smell it, you can't do anything like that. But by faith, you're trusting that your spirit is in that heavenly place with God. And we're persistent because of it. If you were aware of how accessible heaven is to you, how accessible the throne of grace is to you, you would be persistent without any trouble. But it comes to having faith in God's word. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible says, the word of God says, and this is what you need to put your faith in, and that is we have access with boldness to come to the throne of grace. We can go to him anytime we choose.
Amen.
And we need to do it every time. We need to do it. We are in a battle. I want to introduce you to a gentleman. All right. You can go ahead and change to the next one here. Winston Churchill. All right. I don't know how many of you have ever studied the life of Winston Churchill, but he is the best way that I can describe persistence, or persistence in prayer. All right. Winston Churchill was not a believer by any means, all right? He was a drinker, he was a smoker. Most of his pictures, if you look them up online or anything like that, most of them he's got a cigar in his mouth. He is constantly doing all that kind of stuff, but there is something about him that gives a wonderful illustration of how we ought to be in prayer to our God. He was in a situation at the time that Hitler was taking over all of Europe. He pretty much had taken over Europe, and most of the talk in Parliament in England went like this: we've got to figure out how to negotiate peace treaties, and we've got to figure out how we can, how we can please Adolf Hitler so that we don't lose our island and things like that. And to make a long story short, Winston Churchill looked at them and said, "You can't reason with a tiger when your head is in its mouth."
Right.
And so he said, whenever people would take a picture of Winston Churchill, he would do this. And that did not mean peace. It meant victory. It meant, even though everything was against him, everything seemed like it was sinking. As a matter of fact, he told his wife before he got voted in as the prime minister, she said, "Honey," she said, "your whole life you've been prepared for this particular task at hand." And he said, "Look, honey, it's not a blessing." He said, "I am getting ready to become prime minister of a sinking ship." He said, "This isn't some kind of an honor. It's revenge." That's what he said about himself becoming the prime minister. He said everything's falling apart, and therefore they've decided to call on me to clean up the mess. And so he, you know what he said? He tried to get weapons, and they were in big trouble. The Germans had 3 million soldiers that were all lined up ready to take over England. They were across the sea right over there in Belgium. And of course you had Dunkirk, which was where the Englishmen were. And another place, I can't remember exactly where the other place was, but Dunkirk was one of them. I think you've heard the story about Dunkirk. And they were basically trapped on that island. The Germans were surrounding them. And Winston Churchill said, "We got to figure out a way to rescue these guys." And they said, "Well, we don't have any kind of boats. We don't have any kind of convoys." He said, "Well, what do we have?" He said, "The only thing we have are civilian boats." He said, "Well, then get as many of those as you can and send them out there and rescue those guys." And most of them lived. When he sent them out, he basically, it was said that he actually got out of his car, went and got into one of the subway systems in England, and he was basically looking at a map, and there was a civilian lady that came up, and he goes, "Excuse me, ma'am, how do you use this map right here?" And she looks at him like, "Aren't you the prime minister?" You know, and he says, I really need you to help me here." And so she told him how to use the map, and he got onto the car, and all these people are all just kind of looking at him, and he starts asking them questions. He says, "Hey, I got a question. If Adolf Hitler were to try to take over this island," he said, "do you think that we should negotiate with peace, or do you think we ought to fight?" And the civilians of England said, "Fight!"
Yeah.
He said, "Well, that's completely opposite of what Parliament's been saying. Parliament's been saying we need to just give up and turn it over to Hitler." He said, "But you know what? We might have a chance. Our people are ready to put up a fight."
Amen.
He was persistent. He did everything that he could. And as a result, he was able to hold out until finally America stopped claiming neutrality because of the tragedy that took place in Pearl Harbor. And they joined in, and World War II began. And they came to the aid of England, and they eventually took over the Nazis. But basically, towards the end of the darkest hour of the English period, they basically said this about Churchill. They said he's basically taken the English language and has mobilized it against the enemy. That's what they said about Winston Churchill. No matter what people said, he looked at them and said, "We are winning." And that's where everybody said, "No, we're not." He said, "Yes, we are. We're winning." Okay? Say it. Say it with me. We're winning.
We're winning.
We're winning. Say it better than that. We're winning. Say it better than that. We're winning. Yeah, that's how I want you to say it. That was how he was persistent. He was determined that they were going to win. And that's where you get the quote that says, "Never, never, 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 never give up."
Yep.
That's what Winston Churchill said. All right? So that is kind of an excellent explanation of persistence and prayer. Now, I want to show you an outline that the Lord gave me just not too far off here. I want you to look at these, all right? This is persistence. This is Winston Churchill would stand up and say, "Hear, hear," to this, all right? Every path is acceptable when it comes to prayer. Every person accountable when it comes to prayer. Every period available when it comes to prayer. Every place accessible when it comes to prayer. Every promise attainable.
Amen.
When it comes to prayer.
Good.
We need to access all of those things. We need to access every path that's acceptable. We need to access every person that's accountable. That means
Amen.
Present, all right? If we're all here, let's all have a prayer meeting and let's all pray together.
Amen.
Don't sit out and listen to everybody else pray. If God lays something on your heart, you speak up and pray. The Bible says there's neither male nor female. There is neither Jew nor Greek nor Gentile. There is none of those. We are all one in Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe we're one in Christ? The Bible says at the very beginning of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit."
Amen.
Physically, we're male and female, but in the Spirit, we're all one in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we all need to access the throne room together. So every person accountable, every period available, pray with every period available. Every chance you get. Every time that you get a chance to be alone in the quiet, in that moment that you can concentrate and touch the throne of God, pray to Him. Every place accessible, wherever you are, if you have a place of quiet, if you're in the bathroom, if you're getting ready for church, wherever you may be, if there's a quiet place, pray to God and ask Him for help. Tell Him, Lord, I need You. Every promise is attainable. Every promise that's attainable, claim it. Find it in the Word of God. If you don't know of any passages of Scripture that have to do with the prayer that you're praying, then find it. Look for it. Why do you think I have all these verses memorized? The reason why is because I have to find a verse to back up what I'm praying.
Amen.
You see, Jesus was called the Word, was He not?
Yes, sir.
Peter, before he stepped out on the boat, he didn't just say, "Hey, Lord, I think that's pretty cool that You're able to walk on water. I'm coming to do that too." If he did that, he would have fallen. But he said to the Lord, "Hey, I want You to tell me to come. Give me the word, and I'll come." You know what? There's things that I'm praying for right now, and I'm saying, "Lord, give me the word." Maybe it might be in here. I don't know. Or else lay something on my heart. Give me a peace, a determination that You're going to make this thing happen. You know, when it comes to soul winning, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of times I'll go out and sometimes I'm disappointed, but sometimes I'm also encouraged. But the Bible says this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," and then it says, "baptizing them."
Yes, sir.
And I say, now, Lord, if I'm supposed to baptize them, that means that they did get saved, right? So if You're commanding me to baptize people, that means You're already assuming that they're going to get saved, right? Hey, the Lord tells me that, and you know what? People are still getting saved.
Amen.
There are people still trusting Christ as their Savior. Stop getting, get rid of that pride and that feeling of being rejected by some. There are people who are going to slam the door in your face, but praise God, every time a door is slammed in your face, that's the closer you get to another soul that's lost.
Amen.
We need to make sure that we tell them about the Lord. We need to make sure that we tell our people in this town about Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that we are praying for one another.
Amen.
Look, we're all in a battle. We're all going through different things. You know, recently our focus has been on the Langleys and has been on Brother Randy, and they have gone through a very difficult tragedy. But the fact of the matter is that all of us are going through some type of a trial. It's different. There's different things that we're going through. And some of us may be a little bit embarrassed and say, "Well, you know what I'm going through can't possibly be as bad as Brother so-and-so." But only God knows the burden of your heart.
Right.
He knows that you feel that you can't bear the burden any much longer.
Amen.
But He's always there. That's why we've got to follow that. We've got to make sure that we are persistent until the war is won.
Amen.
Till the battle is won. I should say the battle. The war is going to be won when the Lord Jesus comes back and claims His throne, of course.
Amen.
But there's going to be battles in the midst of this war. And every time a battle comes, access Him.
Amen.
Make sure that you know the Word of God. Make sure that you spend time with Him. It may be 2 seconds of praying. It might be an hour. It might be 3 hours. But whatever the case may be, take a moment, if you have it, to claim the throne room and to say, "Lord, help me."
Amen.
Look, there was a time when I came up to, I climbed up a mountain of the ranch hands over at the Boerice Ranch. They've labeled me after that as a nut. But I just, there came a place in my life where I had to call on the Lord, and I didn't know what to say to Him. But I remember I went up to the top of that mountain and I said, "Help!" And then I went down the mountain. Little did I know, but they were sending gurneys up there to see if they could rescue whoever it was that cried out for help. I was not aware of that. Anyway, but you know what? Hey, God came down and helped me.
Amen.
Look, I'll tell you what. I remember when I did not understand revival at the time. But you know what? I did experience revival when I was at the ranch. I cried out to God for help. I think of that verse, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill." Boy, I'll tell you, I called out to Him. And though I might have been labeled as a nut over there, look, when I came back home from the Bill Rice Ranch and I went to my room and I began to contemplate what the Lord wanted to do in my life, suddenly I pulled out right now I don't think I would do this. But I was so full of God at that time. I was a sophomore in high school that I went and I grabbed a hold of a phone book, started with letter A, and I started witnessing to every person on those phone numbers. I said, look, I'm calling, you're going to think that I'm absolutely crazy, but I'm calling you because I want to make sure that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're on your way to heaven when you die.
Wow.
I'll bet you they never received a phone call like that before. But it got them thinking.
Amen.
You know, there were some people who said, you're crazy, and hang up the phone. But there are others who would say, I'm listening.
Amen.
And they would let me actually share the gospel with them.
Amen.
Now, look, I haven't done that. I haven't done that in a long time. I'm not telling you that that's something that you need to do. All right. But I am saying that God was working so mightily that I went out there, put on the best coat that I had, and I went out and started knocking on doors. I knocked on so many doors, I wound up running into Bob Jones Jr.'s sister. And I gave her the whole presentation of the gospel. And she said, young man, she said, praise God, there's people knocking on the door. She said, I do know the Lord Jesus is my Savior. And I'm going to pray that God will help you to win others to Jesus Christ. She never told me who she was. My dad actually pulled up and was looking for me. He had no idea where I was. He pulled up and he goes, hey, Mike, where have you been? I said, I've been knocking on doors. And he looked over at the lady and he waves like this and kind of had this nervous look on his face and said, you want to get in the car? I said, sure. I got in the car, and he goes, do you know who that was? I said, no, I don't know. She said, that was Bob Jones Jr.'s sister. I was like, really? You know, I didn't know that. But you know what? Hey, she knew there was somebody that was getting the job done.
Amen.
See what I'm saying?
Amen.
Look, I'll tell you what. When you call on the Lord, you may feel like this whole... Young person, do you feel like Christianity's fake? Look... Look, there was a time when I was your age there, I didn't feel like Christianity was real. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't been the best example to you to show you that Christianity is real. Lord knows with my own children, I haven't been the best example to them of what Christianity is really about. But all you got to do is cry unto the Lord with your voice and he will hear you out
Amen.
Of his holy hill.
Amen.
You say, help, Lord, I don't think this is real. There's a lot of adults that don't really believe what they're saying. It seems like the life they're living isn't really adding up to what they're telling me. Lord, help! And you know what? The Lord will help you to see
Amen.
It is real. And he wants to use you no matter what. No matter how many people choose not to believe. No matter how many times you have to be alone. You put your faith in the Lord and he will help.
Amen. Yes, he will.
That's all I have to say. But you know what? We need to be persistent. We need to pray until the Lord shines through. We need to break through those walls. We've got some big walls. We got some big walls out there. We got some big walls with our young people. I want to show you one more verse here. Turn to Joshua. I've shared this verse with you before, but I want you to actually look at it. Joshua 8. Some of you already know where I'm going with this. Joshua 8. If I can find it here. This is not it. Oh, here we go. Sorry, Joshua chapter 6. I apologize. Joshua chapter 6, look at verse 1. All right, I want you to pay attention to how this is worded. Joshua 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly, that means tightly, straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And if you are at all aware of what Jericho was like, it was an absolute fortress. You could not get in. You could not get out. There would be definite casualties if you tried to get in. There were plenty of places for archers to line on the wall and to fire at their enemies. Jericho was a stronghold of strongholds. It was a thick wall. All right, it was impossible. None went out and none came in. Look what it says in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. Do you see the difference between our perspective and God's?
Amen.
It may seem like what you're up against. Brother, you know, we're praying for your son, you know, and this could easily embitter him, this whole situation. You were sharing that with me. But you know what? And it seems like we're looking at a Jericho, but the Lord Jesus is saying, look, I've given it to you. We just need to claim it.
Amen.
We need every moment that we have, we need to pray, Lord, please don't let Sam get bitter.
Amen.
Every moment that we have, every promise of Scripture that we have, Lord, would you just, Lord, help his heart to be open to anything that he hears. Lord, I pray that he would, I pray that you just put it in his heart to desire church, Amen. To keep desiring church. I pray that you'd put a song in his heart.
Amen.
I pray that you'd be close to him.
Amen.
Did you know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we see several passages, we see several words in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Several of these words are all about tribulation, suffering, difficulties. And then there's several words that talk about comfort,
yes, sir.
Consolation.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that the words for comfort and consolation are more than the words of tribulation and suffering and anguish?
Amen.
There's more to it. There's more comfort out there. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know what? The world is constantly looking for peace. The reason why the world fills up the church when there's a casualty or a trial or a travesty that happens in our nation, when the Twin Towers got knocked down because of the terrorists, the churches were full of people. And then when things got better, they felt like, everything's better now. We don't need God. All right. See, the thing is they're trying to find peace that's temporary. They don't realize that Jesus is our peace and he's everlasting. He never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes.
Amen.
And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, he is our peace.
Amen.
We need to pray that for people. We need to pray that for our young people. We need to pray that God will give them a fire, that he'll give them a zeal. You know what? Judson still, praise God, Judson still wants to be a missionary. Y'all pray that he keeps wanting to be a missionary.
Yeah.
Because you know what? The devil, he's gonna snatch him right out from under us if we're not paying attention, if we're not persistent.
Yep.
See, that's exactly what Hitler was waiting to do
sure.
in Germany. He was waiting. You know, he saw Neville Chamberlain and he said, oh, that guy, he is so lame. All he's doing is waving the paper in front of him saying that I'm going to keep my promise. Yeah, whatever. You know, he was like, we have peace with Germany. Oh, yeah. Yeah, while he was doing that, Germany was starting to take over other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Then came Winston Churchill. And Winston Churchill said, you're not going to take my island. Shama, in the Bible, all he had was a sword.
Yep.
And there were 1,000 Philistines coming at him. Do you know what he was defending? A pea patch. You know what he said to him? You're not taking it. When it comes to your children, hold on to the sword of the word of God and tell that old devil, you're not taking them.
Amen.
When it comes to our young people in this church, say, you're not taking them.
Amen.
When it comes to standing for what God is, tell him, you're not taking this.
Amen.
You're not taking Tarboro. You're not going to take my wife. You're not going to take my husband. You're not going to mess with me. Because I've got a God behind me who's a lot bigger than you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Be persistent in prayer. Father, I do thank you for this time we can be together. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the words that we have. Lord, this is a particular word that I've never really focused on in this chapter. We need to be persistent. We need to persevere, Lord. We need to persevere.